showing Spanish and Nervous Jared having a slap off. Nervous Jared just wrecked you. Look at that. I mean, they're rolling right off your face, but he's hitting you hard.
He's trying. He's trying. That was a fun fight. I wish that I could have fought him with the training that I have now, but
you didn't even need it then, though.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
But it would have been nice because I think back about that gut shot, and I really wasn't putting much power behind it because I
shut him down.
But I didn't even plant my feet when I threw it, and it still, you know, it hurt him. But I wish I could have really just laid in.
Oh, you shut him down. I was very proud of you.
Thank you. The best part of the whole thing was going backstage and seeing him crying.
Was he crying?
Oh, he was crying. Yeah, it felt so good.
Oh. What was he crying about that he lost?
He was crying because his liver was coming out his butt.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
His girlfriend at the time was there, and she's like, it's okay. Don't cry. I was like, oh.
Aren't you amazed that Nervous Jared had
numerous
good-looking girlfriends?
Yes.
Like,
shocking.
For Nervous Jared.
Yeah. For Nervous Jared.
He kept climbing the list as he changed girlfriends. They kept getting better looking and better.
But was that last one really a girlfriend?
I don't know.
Was that like a roommate situation? And yeah. Didn't you make them make out?
Kiss.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because the last thing I saw of his girlfriend, he posted something on Twitter about how the one thing that hurts him the worst about the quarantine is not knowing the next time he's going to see his lady friend.
Yeah, he can't see her.
Oh, man, you wouldn't go see your girlfriend if you're in quarantine?
I would totally. Yeah.
I mean, you do.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Your
girlfriend
right.
Basically, like, moved in with you.
Oh, I wish she would. She's the best.
So that's ridiculous.
But really, think about that. Spanish is putting us all at risk.
Nah, we're...
You totally are.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Because she's doing all kind of stuff. Who knows what?
She is working, but she only goes to work and then comes back to my place.
At the candle factory?
Who's at work?
It's just her in the office. She works at a legal office and...
Just her?
I mean, I'm sure the main lawyer is there.
Oh, the guy she's banging?
You know.
Oh,
no, it's
man.
A woman. So that's going on.
Even hotter.
Even better. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so... So she doesn't work in a candle place. I'm still amazed by that.
I know. No candle. She works at a law office.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't even want to revisit this. Let's just do it. Galvin has your news.
And now, news with Galvin on the Mike Calta Show.
I just clicked on this link for pool floats.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to see it everywhere, ain't I?
Yeah, for sure.
Dude, so my wife wanted a teeth whitening thing. That's all. For the next 2 weeks, don't expect me to see any of your guys' social media because all I see is teeth whitening ads.
What?
It is unbelievable. By the way, there's a teeth whitening thing. You know the UV light or whatever it is that they use? But there's one that you put in your mouth and it has the light. And it jiggles, like vibrates. I'm like, I don't think that should be under sex toy or something.
That
seems like a different thing.
Oh, man.
I ordered a Gronkowski jersey the second that they came out.
Oh, did you?
And it's been like a week now. My son asked me last night, he goes, hey, can you just see if it says when that jersey is going to come? And I was like, yeah, I go, it's been a week. It's probably going to be here any day now.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my order, shipping in September.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Why?
Who knows?
That is ridiculous. And a bunch of stuff I order because I'm so impulsive. Then they don't. I'm like, where are those things? And I go and I read and I go, it doesn't ship till May.
Well, I ordered some hand sanitizer. I found a place. They're like, hey, we got it and we're shipping. And this, that, it was in America. And that was their whole thing is we got it. It's in. We're shipping it. So order it. So I ordered some. And it's been like at least 12 days and nothing yet. Because they have a thing and they'll text you whenever it's shipped. And stuff. Yeah, nothing. And to the point where I'm like, how about I just cancel that?
Yeah.
Can I tell you what I love about our listeners is last night, Titus O'Neil, whose birthday was yesterday, was in a live video where he was cooking. And Batista was there and some chef was there. So I was watching him for a couple of minutes. And I made some comments. So I was trying to get his attention. And then somebody writes, so you guys all going skinny dipping after this?
Yes.
I love it.
That's you guys
hilarious.
Are the best.
By the way, have you seen the Brady Gronkowski 2020 Make Tampa Great Again shirt?
No, that's great.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I thought that you guys would, you know, if you're a fan, you want to go get that.
What do we have in news today, Galvin?
Today, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis unveiled a plan yesterday to lift the state's stay-at-home orders amid the coronavirus crisis that he calls safe, smart, and step-by-step. Here is the governor talking about that up on Bone TV. Check this out.
Today, though, Florida will take a step. Small, deliberate, methodical, and based on consultation with some of our greatest physicians, towards a more hopeful future. We do have hope. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. Now, I'll outline the steps that we'll be taking going forward. This new phase will start on Monday, May 4th, and will, for the time being, exclude Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. These counties have seen the lion's share of the state's epidemic, but they are trending in a positive direction. I am working with them and will continue to work with them, and I do believe that they will be able to move to phase one very soon. We will get Florida back on its feet by using an approach that is safe, smart, and step by step. What is our biggest obstacle? Fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear sparked by constant doom and gloom and hysteria that has permeated our culture for the last 6 weeks.
So we'll get to that, what he's talking about, the fear with the media and stuff. But here is how it works. So under phase one, retail stores and restaurants can reopen, but only at 25% capacity. Eateries will be allowed to seat people outside, but they will have to maintain 6 feet of social distancing. And elective surgical procedures will be allowed to resume. So ladies, get your boobies in your face and stuff. But schools, bars, gyms, hair salons, nursing homes, and long-term care facilities will remain closed until further notice. People should continue to avoid large gatherings of more than 10 people and don masks whenever possible. That's according to the governor there.
Yeah.
So how are they deeming opening restaurants but not opening everything
they're
else?
They're opening restaurants, but they're just opening them at a 25% capacity, which...
And seating people outside.
Yeah, right. You can't sit inside. Is that the whole
thing? No, you can, but just it depends on what it is. But the thing is that I don't know what they're... I mean, it's a very, very slow start because 25% of a restaurant's capacity is not paying its bills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not going to... It'll help a little bit, but it's not
going right. to keep the restaurant afloat. You got to start it slow and do that. And like you're saying, step by step.
I mean, I'm going to tell you, I'm all in support of... restaurants and hospitality people and all that stuff, but I don't think that I'm going to a restaurant anytime soon. I can tell you that.
I don't think so either.
No.
No.
When I went to Publix yesterday, I think I was one of two people wearing a mask.
Really?
Like, people were just, like, done with it. I was surprised.
I didn't wear a mask yesterday because I went straight to Publix and I didn't have one on me, which was interesting because Dylan, our engineer, had sent out an email that they had masks for us here, and I wish I would have seen it, but I had to get some stuff. I had to go straight from work because I was bringing it to my in-laws. And I didn't have a mask, but you know, I mean, I practiced social distancing. I went up and down the aisles the right way, and I stayed away from everybody and did the best I could. It's not that I'm blowing it off; it's just that I had to do what I had to do yesterday.
You should definitely, if you have, like, do you have an actual mask or no?
Yes.
So either that or the buff or whatever you have, leave it in your car. Leave one in your car.
That's what I've done.
So have I, but I actually took it out to be washed because it needed to be clean. So it's. You know, it was my fault yesterday, but also I wasn't like, hey, everybody want a hug, you know? It's still, to me, I mean, like, this is not changing anything. And I'm very fortunate that I've worked through this entire thing. I get it. I see what other people are going through. But I can't get on board with this. Just, hey, tomorrow, Monday, everything's back to normal, you know?
Well, it's slowly opening, and this is probably why. DeSantis' announcement came as 350 new cases of COVID-19 were confirmed Wednesday in Florida, along with 47 new deaths, bringing the state's virus-related death toll to 1,218. More than 5,400 people remain hospitalized with COVID-19. That's according to the state health department.
Now, so my only question is, if they're willing to open up restaurants at 25%, why are they not willing to open up other facilities at 25%?
Like bars? Like, and
well, not bars, but like gyms and hair salons.
Please.
Well, he said that. He addressed that yesterday. He said, I haven't had a haircut. DeSantis said, I haven't had a haircut since February.
Still,
I
know. Looks great.
I look a little bit like a beetle in the 70s.
So how? But why is that not on the same level as a restaurant?
I would say gym. You have people who are breathing heavy, who are sweating,
circulating,
who are, you're doing a lot of that
equipment.
Stuff. Yeah, the equipment. You'd have to have somebody there for every piece of equipment to wipe it down.
Gym, I get. Like that, because that's a lot harder.
All right, let me shoot down your next question. What else you got?
But, beauty salon.
Beauty salon, like I said, but they sanitize all their... tools. Like, they have the little gel thing that they put in their scissors and stuff.
I agree, but they're right up on you. Yeah. But if they're wearing a mask and stuff, I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning behind that is.
That's my only question is because restaurants are technically still running. They're still doing takeout orders and stuff. So opening up for people to sit down, how is that?
I agree with
necessity.
You. Haircuts are a necessity. I mean, I definitely agree with you. And those people are out of work, and people need haircuts. And goddamn, my wife's hair is getting gray, man. I mean, we need to do something soon.
And that's it. Like, that could be your only job is you're a stylist, or, you know, that's what you do. And then you just can't do it anymore.
My
what are you supposed to do now?
The girl that cuts my hair, she just opened her salon this year. I think at the beginning of this year, and then this all happened. Yeah. And I was like, that is just
hard. Well, I think about that a lot of different businesses, restaurants that just opened or anything. You're like, come on. Because, you know, you're opening a restaurant, you have to be able to afford to lose money the first year, but not like this.
I mean, our friends who used to bring us food every day, Gershie's.
Mm-hmm. Gershie's. Yeah, it's difficult.
He just opened this year, and it's such great food, but like this, you know.
He's doing takeout. Hit him up.
Yeah.
Do you think opening the restaurants to 25% capacity is going to mean more people are going to go? Like, wouldn't you already have gotten takeout anyways? Now you're like, oh, well, I can sit down there. I'm going to go.
I think people think that they're going to go sit down there.
And, yeah.
Because they want something to do.
Yeah.
Like, maybe. People are just so bored, they just want to get out of the house. So now that things are opening, they're just going to go do it.
But you're only going to be able to sit down with people who are in your house,
right?
In your household, like your family or whoever. Which I don't know if people are going to be lying about that or not.
Probably,
well, yeah.
Because those are like the beach rules, right? You have to stay 6 feet apart unless you're in the same household.
Mm-hmm.
But how do they know?
Right.
Open the damn bars, people.
No.
I'm with you, Gio. I'm with you, man.
No.
Sick of drinking by yourself.
You got to open the damn bars. What are we doing here? If I can get a beer and a haircut, that's all I need right now.
Governor Ron DeSantis met with President Donald Trump, and he was talking a little bit about how he said the fear-mongering and the media and stuff. Here is what Governor Ron DeSantis had to say about that on Bone TV.
What have the results been? You look at some of the most draconian orders that have been issued in some of these states and compare Florida in terms of our hospitalizations per 100,000, in terms of our fatalities per 100,000. I mean, you go from D.C., Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, you name it. Florida's done better, and I'm not criticizing those states, but everyone in the media was saying Florida was going to be like New York or Italy, and that has not happened because we understood we have a big, diverse state. We understood the outbreak was not uniform throughout the state, and we had a tailored and measured approach that not only helped our numbers be way below what anyone predicted, but also did less damage to our state going forward.
Hey, you did a good job. You represented well.
He's ready to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's on a big platform there. I mean, the whole world's looking at him, and he's sitting there boasting about, you know, the state, because the state's numbers, they were showing it during his conference, too, compared to what they expected. They are 60,000 respirators. They used 700 of them. You know what I mean? He's like, we were way below. But he was crediting it with people paying attention and doing what they were supposed to do.
And it's because they shut it down. They shut down the beaches. They closed everything. So now I feel like them opening stuff up, you're asking for the numbers that they're predicting.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully if people still follow through with the instructions that go along with slowly opening up, then we should be fine.
Well, in the Tampa Bay Times, they released an article yesterday that the Florida medical examiners were releasing coronavirus death data live as it was coming in, but the state made them stop doing that. And they said that the state has made them stop releasing that information for the past 9 days.
Because is it accurate? Do they know that all these people that died are definitely had corona?
That's the counter argument. But the argument that the examiner's office is saying is that, yes, the data is accurate and it was being released live, you know, up to date.
Which would lower the numbers because they're being suppressed.
Right. And that's the thing. The past 9 days, the Florida medical examiner's office has not been able to release their information. And it does contradict a little bit of what our governor is saying.
And I know there was a big thing also about the unemployment. Florida unemployment has been
way higher than
really terrible as far as people being able to get unemployment and stuff.
I'm staying home.
But it feels a little bit like you're on the 10-yard line and you're celebrating.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And somebody's going to come and whack the football out of your hand. Mm-hmm. You know, this is some good news. The FDA is set to approve the first drug to treat COVID-19. It's an antiviral med called Remdesivir. Or is that right? Yeah, Remdesivir. I don't know if that's correct, to be honest with you. Tests found it can cut the recovery time from 15 to 11 days.
Oh, nice.
So it's 4 days less of suffering. Yeah. If you're suffering where you hear these people talk about it, how they feel like they couldn't even take a breath, that they felt like they were dying the whole time. Dr. Fauci says that it'll create a, quote, new standard of care.
That's nice.
So that's some good news coming out of that. Last month, the White House announced its social distancing guidelines, branding it 30 days to slow the spread. Yesterday, President Donald Trump said he won't be renewing those guidelines, which expire today. They'll be fading out as governors take over. So he's not going to renew that. President Trump also said that he plans to start traveling again, which hasn't happened since March. He's going to head to Arizona next week, then Ohio, saying, quote, hopefully in the not too distant future, we'll have some massive rallies and people will be sitting next to each other.
That'll be cool, but it's going to be hard to get all your people to go out and vote if they're stuck in the hospital, man.
I watched a Real Sports with Brian Cumble the other day, and they had the soccer tournament that was going on, and they were over in Italy, and they said that they knew about it. And people still went, and, you know, 70,000, 80,000 people, whatever, there. And they were calling it Game Zero because people who had it. And, so, and they showed it. It was unbelievable. And one guy who got through it, he and his wife had it and got past it and stuff. They were talking about it. And he goes, I look back to that, and he goes, it's just so crazy because, you think about soccer and them celebrating, grabbing each other and screaming in each other's face. And people, you know, just all in that area just boom. And they showed where the soccer stadium is, and it, like, turned red, and then it just went and covered the whole boot. Yeah, it was crazy. Los Angeles is now the first major city to offer free coronavirus tests to any resident who wants one, even if they don't have symptoms.
We're not doing them here. I thought we were doing them.
I don't know if
too.
They're free, though.
Yeah, oh, maybe they're not.
Yeah,
I heard him say anybody that wants to get tested
in Hillsborough. Yeah, anybody who wants to get tested can get tested. You don't have to be showing symptoms. You do have to, I think, set an appointment or whatever. But I don't know if they're free. They're saying Los Angeles is the first major city.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Will more companies let people work from home even after the crisis is over?
I mean, it seems to be the smart way to do things. I mean, I don't know how
less
the production
overhead.
Is. You make less overhead for sure, but I mean, you know, if business is running well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, and there are certain companies that already do that. My sister-in-law, what's my brother-in-law's wife called? Brother-in-law's wife?
Yeah.
That's not really my sister-in-law?
Yes.
Your brother-in-law's wife, but it's not your sister?
That's not my sister-in-law, right? Because it's my wife's brother, so he's my brother-in-law.
Right.
And then what is his wife called to me?
I think sister-in-law.
I don't think so.
I think we've had, not you and I, but I've had this conversation
I think
before.
We may have had this conversation.
So my brother-in-law's wife is my sister-in-law. No, my sister-in-law is my brother's wife. Hey, Siri. What do I call my brother-in-law's wife?
You'll need to unlock your iPhone.
If this says her name is Anne.
It's either your sister or your sister-in-law.
Oh, okay.
You looked it up?
Yeah, I Googled it.
You got two choices?
Yeah, I literally just put into Google, what is your brother-in-law's wife called? And it says your brother-in-law's wife is either your sister
or what about
your
sister-in-law. What is my wife's brother's wife called?
Well, so
sibling-in-law. It refers to the sibling of one spouse or the spouse of one sibling, or less frequently, the spouse of one spouse's sibling.
I call her Shirley. There's too many.
What is my wife's brother's wife called?
I love when you look something up, you talk like Keith Morrison. Why don't you have a seat?
Oh, that pesky DNA. you can call her by her first name.
See? Yeah.
Yeah, when referring to her for clarity, you can say, Jane is my brother-in-law, John's wife. John is my wife's brother.
Yeah, she's nothing.
Anyways, she works from home and from on the road.
Already?
Like she always has.
Right.
Yeah, she always has. The company that she works for, she has her company car, she has her laptop, and that's what she does. Like, she doesn't go in the office. I would say maybe she goes in the office once a quarter or something like that, but she's just either on the road or at home doing all this stuff, and They get it done. So the question is, will they still do that? They say almost definitely to some extent. Not everyone thinks that's a bad thing. A new survey talked to 1,000 people who'd never worked from home before the virus hit, and a majority of them want to keep doing it. Of course you do. You don't have your boss over your shoulder.
And you can wear sweatpants to work. Yeah. Like, we get to already, but there's a lot of people that don't.
Carmen, remember that little girl we talked to on the cruise? She worked for a bank, and she handled, like, VIP customers. And she worked from home. So she went and bought an RV, and she travels because she's like, tomorrow I want to go to Colorado, and she can just go to Colorado in the RV.
Can do the work from there.
She can do the work from there. So she can just travel on the road. I think that's great. She was young, too. That's great.
Yeah. So 57% said they prefer to continue working from home in the future. 48% think they're more productive at home, and only 29% said they're less productive. Those are the people that are on the couch with the chips and dip, and they're like, yeah, I'm working. I'm totally working. 76% of people working from home right now are using Zoom or other video conferencing apps on a daily basis. A lot of us do have coworkers. 68% said at least one other person in their household is also working from home right now. They say they do miss their IT department, though, because of glitches and problems and trying to hook up stuff, and they can't figure it out. They need the IT guys to do it. And 54% of new at-home workers said they've had to upgrade their tech in some way, like replacing their computer, buying a printer, or upgrading their webcam. Because you may have a laptop that doesn't have a webcam on it, or you may have a older laptop. It has a grainy webcam.
That was the thing. I had to go get my son a webcam so he could do school.
Or the printer.
Webcam, yeah.
Like you were talking about with the printer. You buy a printer and then it's obsolete in like 2 seconds, and the ink costs $4,000.
I bought ink, put it in, printed 2 sheets, and it was like, you're low on ink.
Yeah.
Like, I just bought ink.
Ink is ridiculous.
That's how they get you. They give you a printer for $100.
Yeah, I saw a thing the other day, and the guy was trying to print something, and it said, I'm sorry, you're out of maroon. And he goes, yeah, I don't need it, just black and white. And he's like, sorry, you're out of maroon, not printing it, not going to do it. These guys kind of stole your idea a little bit, Mike.
Oh.
Yeah, a little bit. But they're helping out, so it's a good thing. A sparkling water brand called Liquid Death is running a promotion called Belch for Bars, and they're donating $20 per burp to the U.S. Bartenders Guild. You just have to post a video of yourself burping with the hashtag Belch for Bars. And the brand says they think people might just be timid about posting videos of themselves burping. But they say go ahead and do it, because they're going to donate up to $250,000 if people do it enough. And they actually put out a little promo video, which I thought was pretty good. Since the name of the stuff is called Liquid Death, they use a little death metal, and they used a lot of people burping. And we have it up on Bone TV. Check it out. Here we go.
From me,
That they're donating to a bartender, like
I was like, I didn't come up with a burping thing.
You didn't catch that part in the beginning.
Sorry, I didn't. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's Belch for Bars, and they're donating $20 per burp to the U.S. Bartenders Guild.
Gotcha.
My question is because they put a limit, wasn't it like $250,000?
Yeah,
is what they're gonna do. Okay, so just donate the money. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah, but they're promoting their thing. It's a whole, you know, it's a whole thing. And they say they'll do up to $250,000, because if people go crazy with it, and they're like, we don't have $10 million.
That much
money. But, you know, they say we want to go. But I like how this ends. Listen to this.
There's juice in that one.
There's juice in that one.
Our hospitality worker of the day is Sarah Beth. She worked at Bay Pine Sports Bar. She is a lovely mother of three, and she is the sole provider for those three kids, and she does not have a job right now. So if you would like to help her out, it's Sarah Beth Vaughn on her Venmo, which I secretly disguised as VMO today so that Instagram couldn't catch me.
Oh, did that work out?
It worked. I don't know if that was the problem. But thanks to the folks at Tito's Vodka and Team Farrell and Ask the Dom, and of course you listeners, we're keeping this going. And keeping, getting some money into these people's pockets.
Very nice,
help them out, so.
Time where they really need it, too.
It's up on Facebook and Instagram.
A news anchor in Spain was caught cheating when a partially naked woman walked through the background during a live segment from his house.
Oh, man.
I'm going to go fake fish on
this one. Fake fish on this one, too?
Okay.
Because they say it's a naked woman. It says he had a fight with his girlfriend earlier in the week, and she was staying somewhere else for a few days, and then this girl was in his live shot and stuff. But if you watch this, they say she's naked. We'll show the video. Go ahead and show the video, Joe. And you're going to see over his left shoulder, there will be a girl that walks through right there.
Yeah.
Let it play, Joe. They go slow motion. She has a top on, and she has shorts, and the shorts just happen to be like flesh color.
All right, well, do it again. Do it again and pause it, because it looked like she was pretty naked to me, but it's because she walked fast.
Joe, just let it run, because it'll show it in slow motion.
Will this mean that he was cheating, or there just happened to be a girl there?
Just happened to be a girl there.
She's not naked.
All right, so watch this. Watch her top. She definitely has a dark top on, and then her shorts look like flesh colored. Joe, just let it go.
Let it go.
I know. So I can hear you talking from here. See it?
Yeah, it looks like she's wearing a flesh colored skirt or shorts, yeah. Okay, oh. So she's not naked, but she definitely.
But she's over there.
You know what I mean?
Just so you know, in the video, they literally slow it down four times.
Oh, so you can
see. If you just let it play, it'll slow it down and show it in slow motion. But I don't know why you keep stopping it. Anyways, she has, look, totally has a top on, and those are shorts. The shorts are just the same color as the wall. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a girl over there. You maybe get them on that, I guess, whatever, but it's not a naked woman walking through there. You got me excited for nothing. A survey asked 2,500 people, do you ever talk to yourself? So I will ask you in the room, do you ever talk to yourself?
Oh, all the time.
All the time?
Yeah.
Like where? In the car? In the house?
Anywhere.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you asking yourself questions? Are you working stuff out?
Working stuff out, mostly. If I'm asking a question, I'd go, why did we do that?
Or you see something like that. A lot of times you'll see something and you'll be like, what is this? What is going on here?
Yeah.
You know, doing that type of stuff. Carmen, do you talk to yourself at all or no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I spend a lot of time by myself, so sometimes you just got to, like, say stuff out loud or go over things.
Like, I imagine you make food and you're like, oh, this is delicious, you know?
Oh, like, 100%. I'm like, I'm a good cook, guys.
And I'm so smart.
Yeah, and then I look around and I'm like, you know what? I should try this again just to be safe for myself.
I stopped and got pizzas on the way home yesterday and surprised my wife and son with pizza.
Well,
and
it was ours.
You're not part of my family. Oh, okay. But I came in and I go, there's a pizza party out here. And must have said it at least 100 times.
And what happened?
No, they knew. But I just kept on doing it. And I was telling my dogs, I was going, Vader, there's a pizza party out here. And then I'd be eating some pizza and I'd go, got a pizza party out here. So annoying. But I definitely talk to myself.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'll ask questions or do something. But especially whenever I see things, I'm like, what is this? Uh-huh. What are you doing, weirdo?
Uh-huh.
So 42% of us say we talk to ourselves out loud. Another 43% said yes, but only in their head. And only 15% said no, or that they weren't sure. For some reason, seniors are twice as likely to say they never do it. I would think seniors would do it more.
Right?
And women are much more likely to talk to themselves out loud, 48% compared to 36% of men. I know I've told you before about the receptionist at the radio station I used to work for who sounded like one of Marge Simpson's sisters. And she would, the studio door would be open and I would just hear her going, I know I had paper clips.
Oh, no. That's like that guy who killed his, of course I killed him.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Wispy voice killer, whatever.
No. Oh.
The confession guy.
The jinx. What is his name? Durst.
Yeah.
Robert Durst. Yeah.
Of course I killed her.
You've seen that talking around?
Is that where he's like in the bathroom? The and they kinda, yeah.
This is not a spoiler. You can still watch it, but it's been out for, 6 years now or something. Robert Durst, who is a very, very rich family in New York who owns a ton of real estate, and he's crazy, and he supposedly killed his wife and all this different stuff. Well, they're doing a documentary, and he agrees to it, which is always a bad idea, especially if you kill somebody. It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
They're going through all the stuff. He's denying it, blah, 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 doing everything else. They kind of catch him in something, and he's like, I need to take a bathroom break. Well, he goes into the bathroom, and he's still mic'd up, and he's talking to himself, I would imagine, in the mirror, and he's like, of course I killed her. They know I killed her, but I'm not going to tell them. And says the whole thing, and that's how he got busted. Which, by the way, his trial has been pushed back since coronavirus.
Yeah.
That, I mean, God, can you imagine the first time you're going through that footage and you hear that? What did he just say?
He was also living in New Orleans, killed a guy down there, cut him up, everything else, whatever. He was living as a woman down there. Yeah, so people wouldn't know who he was.
You said they got the audio from the bathroom?
They got the audio. He had a mic on. He went into the bathroom. He had a mic on his lapel because they were questioning him and talking to him during the documentary and stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah,
that, and then he also got busted, I want to say, at a Walmart or some sort of store for stealing a hoagie. Jeez. And he had, I want to say, over $5,000 in his pocket.
Oh,
like, the guy was a multimillionaire.
Crazy.
And he stole a sandwich.
Ugh.
Well, while you're on, like, out on bail for
Yeah.
Not too bright.
That's just the guiltiness.
Yeah,
like,
totally. This is one of those things where you're like, man, just one of them I would take. Why doesn't this happen to me? A Colorado man who ended up with a pair of identical Powerball tickets saw his gamble pay off when each won $1 million.
Oh, wow.
Lucky. Yeah, the Pueblo man, identified as Joe B, told the Colorado lottery officials he generally buys one Powerball ticket with his own selected numbers and then a few other tickets as quick picks. So he has his numbers that he uses all the time, then some quick picks. The player's two tickets bearing his own numbers, which turned out to be $1 million second prize winner, earning him a jackpot of $2 million. We have a picture of him up there with both checks for $1 million. How nice is that?
That's awesome. Good for that guy.
That's good, man. $2 million is a perfect amount, too, because he can relax. He doesn't have to give anybody any money.
Yeah.
I don't have to give anybody $1 million because I only got two.
Yeah, you get $400 million. Everybody wants $1 million.
Right.
$2 million, you're like, this is mine. I'm retired, and I'm happy with it.
I'll buy you dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, once everything goes back to normal. So ESPN's block of weird programming, which is also known as the Ocho, it kicks off Saturday at noon with Thor Bjornsson. Do you know who that is?
Is it one of those tough man guys?
It's the Mountain from Game of Thrones, trying to break the world deadlift record. Other events will include cherry pit spitting, robot fighting, and Japanese monster wrestling.
Awesome!
I think I'd be good at cherry pit spitting.
Yeah?
You try it out. I love cherries.
By the way, here is a picture of Thor with his regular-sized wife.
I know. Yeah. She's so tiny.
He must rail her.
Oh, could you imagine, Carmen?
Yeah, no. Her insides are not well.
No. Wouldn't it be great if he had a tiny little wiener?
I was going to say, he's probably not proportionate.
Oh, I don't think you could be. He's listed at 6 feet, 9 inches, 425 pounds.
Good Lord,
he's all muscle, too.
Right, yeah, he's not a fat guy.
Good for him. Good
he is
her.
Giant.
Yeah.
He is giant.
Her butt must be so sore.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine your daughter bringing home that guy when she's 20-something?
What do you do? You got to just shoot him in the face.
You shoot him in the face, he spits out a bullet.
Yeah, for real.
Like, there's no way.
Yeah, you're...
I mean, he may be a super nice guy, but you got to be thinking he's just destroying your daughter.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You cannot use the Big Show's line on him if your daughter brings him home. Yeah.
You want to ask your daughter, or you don't want to ask her, you don't want to go, why are you always in such a good mood?
Why are you always uncomfortable when you sit down?
Yeah.
Why do you walk like that?
Yeah. Why do you walk like you just got off a horse? For whatever reason, and there has to be a reason, and we should probably find this out, Amazon's Jeff Bezos is building a giant clock inside a mountain. Have you guys seen this?
Yeah. We've talked about this, right?
Yes. It's going to tick just once a year, chime once per millennium, and work for 10,000 years. So far, it's not done. So far, it's cost $42 million, which, of course, he laughs at.
Why is he doing this?
We don't know. So, there's some video of the clock up on Bone TV, what it looks like in the mountain. They're building it. $42 million so far for a clock that we don't know why he's building that.
Are we all going to be able to hear it? Or
is it a doomsday clock?
I don't think
so. That's what I'm thinking. Like, it's got to have to do something with something. You don't just go, hey, let's build a weird clock.
Well, the conspiracy is that this is the front for him building his bunker in that mountain. And that's what he's doing. He's building like a huge underground bunker.
Does anybody have a problem if he builds a bunker?
No, well, I think the conspiracy theory is that there were a bunch of millionaires and billionaires that all bought super yachts, and they were built to be done this year, Bill Gates being one of them. And then Jeff Bezos, this was, I think, supposed to be done either this year or next year, and that's just builds into that. So they're all trying to get the hell out of here while the world falls into pandemic.
So basically, what is it? Time traveling is real. They all know we're going to end, so they're
something
all preparing
like
themselves
yeah.
to
it
live
it,
on.
It has its own website.
Of course it does.
The clock. The 10,000-year clock.
And what is the click? Like, does it tell you, like, what it represents? Like, each click and
we're building
ding?
A 10,000-year clock. It's a special clock designed to be a symbol, an icon for long-term thinking. It's of monumental scale inside a mountain in West Texas. The father of the clock is Danny Hillis. He's been thinking about and working on the clock. So it seems like this project is either separate or it already existed.
And, 3 years?
Yeah, and Bezos. Yeah, there it is. No, this is the same one. This is a really big project in multiple ways, and there are many partners who are helping make it a reality. It's not just Bezos. It's Applied Minds. It's the Long Now Foundation, Penguin Automated Systems, Swigert Brothers, Seattle Solstice, and Machinist Inc. They're all doing it together, and no one is saying what it is. Why.
Right, yeah.
The clock will activate and run once a year on a predetermined date at solar noon. We are planning to build the animations. But why?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the question.
I'm gonna find out tonight.
Supposed to be symbolic.
I was looking at this. So if you invested $1,000 during Amazon's IPO, So $1,000 in May of 1997, your investment would be worth $1,341,000 as of August 31st.
Wow. Ooh.
Yeah, that's according to CNBC calculations.
I want to know if you would have invested in Zoom before what it would have been to, because
I always think about it. If I went back to like 10 years old or something, I would totally all my money, and I would try and convince my dad to invest in Microsoft, Apple, Walmart,
Amazon
once it comes out, eBay once it comes out, you know, those different types
Uber.
Of things. Think how much money.
Yeah.
I mean, you would only have to do like three of them and you'd be like, yeah, I'm done.
Easily, yeah.
Because if you put in, say you put in $50,000 to $100,000 into it, you'd be.
But the good part about that is when you start doing that, then you're now in the circles of people that are investing in IPOs, and you'll start getting like all, the newsletter be like, oh, no.
All the information.
Yeah. And you're just in that circle now.
Okay.
Crazy.
Question, because now I know all of us do like investments and stuff, but we do it on our phone or on the computer. Back then, before technology, how would you invest in something like that?
You would call stockbrokers. Stockbrokers used to, like Wolf of Wall Street, they used to cold call people and be like, hey, we got a great investment idea for you. But if you knew and you were up on it and you had the newspaper and you had the Dow, the ticker tape, and that type of stuff,
so
you'd definitely have to go a little bit further than we do now. We can just look on our phone
and see
everything.
You call and then you send in a check?
No, you would wire money.
Yeah, money transfer.
Do you want to hear Jeff Bezos talking about the clock?
Sure.
Yeah.
The clock is invented by a brilliant man named Danny Hillis. He invented this idea way back in 1984. And the idea is it's a symbol of long-term thinking. It's literally a mechanical clock of monumental scale being built inside of a mountain in West Texas, not far from Blue Origin's New Shepard launch site. And it ticks once a day and, dongs once a century, and the cuckoo comes out once a millennium, that sort of thing. And it's powered by day-night thermal cycles. It will keep time for 10,000 years without human intervention, which is very hard to do. It has to be solar synchronized, and synchronizing with the sun over 10,000 years is hard because the earth precesses, and so even solar noon changes, and all of that has to be taken into account. But that's all been worked out by this brilliant man named Danny.
Danny.
There's actually a big team working on the clock now. It's a symbol. So my view of this is that if you think about problems that you would like to solve, let's say that
I don't know.
I think he's doing it just so he has his name on something that's going to last forever. And he's like, isn't this cool?
Yeah. It becomes like a Mount Rushmore kind of thing.
And they're like, it's going to be $50 million. And he's like, oh, okay, he just gets his wallet.
Yeah.
Gives him $50 million. By the way, talking about stock and all the different stuff, this always blows me away. Ronald Wayne, do you know who Ronald Wayne is?
Tell me more.
Ronald Wayne could have a lot more money than he
did.
Victoria's Secret guy?
No, this is after spending a mere 12 days with Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs, Wayne had his name taken off the contract for Apple and sold his shares back to his co-founders for $800. What would they be worth today, you ask?
$2 billion.
Oh, you say $2 billion.
$50 billion.
You say $50
billion. Oh, my God.
80.
You say 80. $95 billion.
Wow.
He sold it for $800. If he would have just held onto it, it would have been worth $95 billion.
That guy kills himself.
2 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, that guy
was in 2018.
Himself.
Yeah, he doesn't kill himself. He's still alive. What does he do?
Yeah.
He kills himself. And his wife kills him.
I mean, for all we know, he made a bunch of money. And did well and stuff, but
I feel like this story ends with, and then we never saw him again.
Yeah, he just ate a bullet.
Yeah, you know.
Let me see, Ronald Wayne.
I noticed you brought cheesecake in.
I did bring some cheesecakes in. Tom heard you guys talking about it and talking about the happy hour and all that stuff yesterday, so he brought everybody some cheesecake and some alcohols if you guys would like to take some. This is in the red room.
Cheesecake.
By the way, his net worth is $500,000.
Oh,
that hurts. Sorry, Wayne.
Yeah. 1976, he sold his shares back for $800. They would have been worth $95 billion 2 years ago. So it'd probably be over $100 billion.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Wow.
He cries at night. Just a cold shower.
10% stake in Apple would be worth more than $95 billion.
By the way, it's hard to cry with a gun in your mouth.
Yeah.
Just so you know. Tommy Lee from Motley Crue says he is sick of people asking for his autograph, then selling it on eBay. He says, quote, I'm done doing fan mail. Those of you who got my signature, I hope you enjoy it and appreciate it. And those of you that are selling it, you can go F yourselves.
I wouldn't care about that.
Well, he's probably just like, what am I answering fan mail and doing that whenever they're all just going to put it up on eBay?
Great.
Like if
my signature is going to fetch, well, I guess if it's for like a company, I would care. But if it was for like a kid and he's making $50 off of it, I'd sign one a week for him.
But I'm thinking like if they're fans and they're at the show, you see them, you're connecting with them, you sign it and stuff. You're going to sit at home and be like, all right, I got to. From two to six, I got to sit here and sign fan mail so these idiots can sell it for $50 a pop. I don't know.
I saw Kid Rock complaining that he doesn't want to take pictures of anybody anymore. He's sick of taking pictures. He's like,
why?
I'll go out there and I'll do a good show and I'll say hi to you at a meet and greet. He goes, but please don't ask me for pictures anymore. I don't want to take pictures. I was like, what do you got to do? Just stand there and fake smile for a second?
Yeah, what?
Yeah, but you think how many people are like, awesome and so great to me, and then other people are ungrateful because he's been there for an hour and a half, and he's like, guys, I got to get on the tour bus, and they're like, you're the worst, screw you, you know.
I like him. I think they should all do that idea where they have a company take the photos for you, and then they give you a number, and then you can go download
the website. Yeah, that's
what
Rush did.
That way you don't have to fumble around with your phone.
That's a big part of it. Or just take a picture of yourself in a green screen and then give it to people and be like, here you go, put yourself in there.
That's not a bad idea.
Knock yourself out.
Yeah.
Like most bands around the world, Guns N' Roses find themselves currently locked down due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. The band postponed a bunch of dates, which had been planned for the spring, recently announcing rescheduled dates slated for November. But we have some good news. Duff McKagan says Guns N' Roses are working on new music, and you can expect an album by 2033.
2033.
I think he's making a joke because of the Chinese democracy and all that stuff. So
it would be nice if they came out with a couple, just one or two songs. I'd be happy.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, now with the age of digital and stuff, and you just throw it out there, I think that'd be great. What's his name? Machine Gun Kelly's doing like covers every week. He's doing a different cover and putting it out there, and it sounds great.
Yeah, he's
good.
He's really talented.
But it's also he is. He's a talented guy. But also, you have the ability to have a studio in your computer that's better than 100% of anything that was ever put out in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy how far technology has come.
My son is making beats on his computer with a program that costs $9, and they sound like anything any rapper could rap over.
Right.
It's amazing. It's just so easy to do now.
It's just like, you know, you want to be able to do a podcast or do voiceover work or something. Well, I need a $400 microphone. No, you don't. Yeah. You can get a USB microphone that's decent and then do everything in the computer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, technology has come so far. That's why bands can just record and do whatever stuff. So our buddy Justino, listen to how great that stuff sounds really that sounds they're doing. You know, he's putting out different Alice in Chains. He did CYK the other day. He was doing a bunch of different stuff, and it sounds fantastic. Like, if you had that on your radio, you'd be like, yeah, this is recorded in the studio.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Did you see this about your buddy David Wells?
Well, what is it?
Getting in a little fight.
Recently?
Yeah.
No.
David Wells is quite familiar with Curt Schilling, as they both played on the same team and against each other during their respective careers. Whatever friendship they might have had back then has since gone down in the dumps since retiring, because on Wednesday, yesterday, a Twitter user asked Wells if there was one player. By the way, Wells has been very active on Twitter. I don't know if you've seen lately.
Yeah, he's shown his trophy room and all this stuff.
Did you see all those guitars and everything? He has the Hunter bass that Paul McCartney plays, signed by Paul McCartney.
Isn't that awesome?
He's got a ton of stuff.
He had all that stuff when he lived here. He had a room. He'd go upstairs in his house, and he had like a game room with video games and pinball machines. And then there was a bridge that walked over from his video game room to like a bar that he had built upstairs. And he had rooms with guitars in them from Jimmy Page guitar. And
he's a big fan too.
He's a huge fan of music. Yeah. And we'd go to all these concerts, and like the artist. And I mean, keep in mind, he was one of the biggest. The Yankees, when he pitched his perfect game, and those are the years when the Yankees were the big greatest team in sports. They had the biggest winning record. And we would go there, and these artists wanted to meet him so bad. And he was such a nice, humble guy. He was there as a fan, not as like, hey, I'm also, you know what I mean? So they would sign stuff for him. He's got a Lucille signed by B.B. King.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got a lot of great stuff.
Would they like invite him backstage, like not knowing he was there? Someone like tell him and be like, oh, hey, go grab him.
The promoter would be hey, David Wells would like to come backstage, and they'd be flipping out, you know? Springsteen. But McCartney, he was in New York, he was friends with Billy Crystal, and Billy Crystal used to take him on the set of Analyze This when they were filming it.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd be like, he'd tell me I was in the trailer with De Niro today. He's not very talkative. You know,
Well, a Twitter user asked David Wells if there was a player who played in the same era as him who was, quote, generally disliked by most other players. And Wells did not hesitate to call out Curt Schilling.
Really?
Yeah, we actually have the tweet up on Bone TV. He has it. He immediately just said Schilling.
Well, he's so ballsy. He doesn't care.
Then, Joe, I sent you another one. I don't know if you have it. No big deal. But Schilling wrote back in response on Twitter, at least tag me, you little bitch.
Oh, yeah.
But why? He wasn't trying to start a fight with Schilling. Somebody asked him a question, and he just answered it.
Yeah, but that would be a nice punch out.
Yeah, it would.
We can get that done. Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Let me tell you.
Who wins in that fight?
Wells is way bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wells
is a big guy.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Schilling. Last time I saw Schilling, he looked fat. So
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why. I think that's great that he called him out, though. I love the people who have the balls to say what they think. That's one of the greatest things about him. Ironically, I was just watching this Jimmy Fallon video. Jimmy Fallon's doing all these Tonight Shows from his house where he's interviewing
it's
people.
It's funny because when I was reading that story and that came up, and I was like, that's weird. Yeah.
He was interviewing Adam Sandler, and they were talking about the night before Wells pitched a perfect game. He was out with Jimmy Fallon, Horatio Sands, Lorne Michaels, and somebody else, and they were out until 5:30 in the morning. And then Wells not only pitched the next day, but pitched a perfect game.
Crazy.
That's amazing. I mean, that's one of the greats, what legends are made of. Yeah. You know what I mean?
When was the time where he wore the Babe Ruth hat?
That was
that right around that time?
Season, but in the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
that was hilarious. He had Babe Ruth's actual hat that he bought at an auction, and he said to Joe Torre, he's like, I'm going to wear this. And he's like, no, you're not. And he goes, you got to stick to the uniform. You can't wear that. And he was like, I'm going to wear it anyway. And he went out there, and they kept it on for a whole inning. And after the inning, they made him change it.
Because a few things. One, why would you want to wear Babe Ruth's hat? Like, that's a piece of memorabilia. You don't want to sweat in it and do all that stuff. Two, I'm sure the league and the team both have rules about what you have to wear.
Yeah.
You know,
they did, and it was great, and it got him attention. And so let me tell you what's best about that. He buys that hat. I mean, you got to look up the numbers. I don't know, but he buys a hat for $40,000. wears it during the game, sells it for like $240,000.
Oh, that's funny.
How did you not wear that hat during the game? It's not worth nearly as much as it is.
Right, because it's such a thing, yeah.
It's such a thing, yeah. So, you know, it was a smart move.
I'm trying to see what the price was. I bought the hat, let's see, he sold it to raise money to renovate San Diego High School field, by the way, which was very nice. So he bought it for $35,000.
But then would he sell it for like $100,000?
I don't know what it says. It surpasses $225,000, it says.
So, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. That's the move right there.
Yeah, that's pretty smart.
Make it worth way more than it's already worth.
Yeah. So finally in news.
Let me just tell you the best part about it. I used to go to his house when he lived in Palm Harbor, and he'd be like, I gotta go clean my office out, Tim. Will you help me out? I go, oh, yeah, I'll help you out. Because I'd leave with boxes full of Yankee stuff, baseballs and stuff.
You gifted me a brand new pair of Adidas running shoes.
Oh, that he gave me?
Yeah, that I re-gifted to my brother Jeff because I think they were either too big for me or too small. Yeah, but I gave them to him, and I go, those are from David Wells.
Yeah, and then the best is he has these things. You can see it on his Twitter. He had these custom cabinets built, and inside the cabinets were tiered shelves so that he'd put the baseballs on them. You could see them all. And he'd go, we went in there one time, he goes, you ever see a Babe Ruth ball? And I was like, never up close. You know, I never saw real one. He goes, here's three of them.
Wow. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. He had a baseball by every president.
That's awesome. So finally in news, Rolling Stone compiled a list of songs that have seen double to triple their growth in downloads since the quarantine began. They have the top 20. I have the top five here.
Songs that grew in sales.
People are downloading, because of quarantine. I will tell you, most of them have kind of a quarantine thing related to do with them. So, yeah, if you can try to figure some of that stuff out. I have the top five here. Any guesses?
No.
Something is the COVID-19 breakdown?
No, one is not one of
remix.
Them. This comes in at number five. It is Mad World by Tears for Fears. I'll tell you this, they're mostly older songs. There's one newer one.
The End of the World, is that one of the songs? It's
the R.E.M. song.
R.E.M. song, it's The End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine. Number one. It's people like Spanish and Joey who are probably drinking tequila, dancing around to this. It's the end of the world. let's see. This is one which I've heard quite a bit. It's probably had so many downloads because of, I think it's been in a lot of commercials and a lot of, you know, our frontline heroes and this and that, whatever. But this is a song called Rise Up by Andra Day.
And I'll rise like the day.
I know it now.
Right? Because you hear it in all the commercials.
These days, heroes aren't only wearing capes.
Soon we'll be back to normal. Restaurants will be opening. By the way,
that's breathing on each other.
That's maybe the greatest thing a singer can do. I love that crack in the voice.
Nice.
Sia does it a lot, but she does it right here. Listen. That's so good, man. She sounds like a very good singer. I'm not familiar with a lot of her stuff. That comes in at number four. Number three is a band that I got to be honest with you, I'm not very familiar with. I know the name of the band, but I never listened to their stuff. It's Joy Division. Isolation is the name of the song.
I don't believe any of this list.
You don't believe the list?
No, I think they're just picking songs that have isolation or something in it.
But that's what probably people are doing, going through and doing that.
Here in My Bedroom by Goldfinger.
No, that is not in the top five. Maybe in the top 20, though. I'm not sure. So Spanish Guest, R.E.M., number one, It's the End of the World. We had number five was Mad World by Tears for Fears. Rise Up there, Isolation by Joy Division. Number two, think about it. Think about with coronavirus and people around, what do you want? When people are near you, you probably say this.
Spread out.
No. Don't stand so close to me.
The Police, Don't Stand So Close to Me, comes in at number two.
Bookmark, she's so close now.
I don't want to hear any police if it's not driven to tears.
You infected weirdo.
Basically, this is a song about Sting's gonna bang one of his students. REM jumped 110% in streams for a total of 5.6 million during from March until April.
God damn.
5.6 million in 1 month.
Is Tiffany's I Think We're Alone Now in there?
Oh, I don't know. I only have the top five. Oh, that was it.
By the way, I saw, I watched Yard Sale something's. What do they call those things? Fair.
Yard pickers?
Extreme
not yard, not yard sales. The
flea market.
Flea market. Flea market war or something like that.
Flea market flip.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. Yeah, it's a show. Yeah,
that's
probably a show. And Tiffany came by and bought one of the chairs from Lady. And then apparently she bought a chair from Lady before and ate it on the way over there.
Oh,
have you seen Tiffany?
Tiffany. I think we're alone and fat now.
Yeah.
What is Tiffany's name?
Tiffany.
Tiffany.
Tiffany Fat Bottom.
Tiffany,
Tiffany, well rounded.
Tiffany.
Tiffany Singer.
Darwish. Let's see. Tiffany Darwish now.
Yeah.
But I mean, she's got to be. How old is she?
Fat.
Fat. Fat. Let's see. Now.
Just because somebody's old doesn't mean they're going to be fat.
But I mean, people get.
Mm. They get older. Mm. Hello.
She actually looks really good here. I don't know what this is from.
I mean, she did look good. She just was porky.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
I saw Vasani Comedy Theater is doing drive-in comedy. Mm-hmm. I hope that works out.
Yeah.
Drive-in, how are they doing
so
it?
So they have a huge, you know, in the big castle that they have a big parking lot.
Okay.
So they're setting up a stage out back, and then you would park out behind there, and they're going to have a PA and all that stuff. I had never heard of the comedian that's doing it. I think you're much better to try it out with somebody that people want to come see, you know?
Like a big name?
Yeah.
But then they would have to, like, fly in, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can fly. You can also drive. Frank Del Pizzo is there. I don't know who that is.
The Piz?
Frankie P.
Frankie Pizzo?
Yeah. Oh, you want to hear him?
Nope.
Yes.
It's him talking.
Yes, I do.
I want to hear it, too. I'm excited for it.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Frank Del Pizzo. I'm a comedian here at Vasani's in Port Charlotte, and we got a great thing going on. We are doing Restaurants for a Cause.
Oh, well, I don't know if he works there. And
that was so loud in my headphones. Hey, everybody. Oh, my God. That was so loud. That is it for news.
All right. So, like, are we just going to stare at those? Are they gonna? Are we going to eat some?
Help yourself.
You help me.
I don't want
to. When's the last time I helped myself?
Help me help you.
Help you help me. We got to take a break. Galvin, you said it. I don't want a whole box. Just put it on a plate.
Oh, Jesus.
Just eat one with your hands.
Get out of here.
Come on. It's good.
Teased it yesterday.
I did.
We have my favorite game to play. Guess who's tweeted it?
No.
No. Who's tweeted it anyway? Who are you? Who are you?